Greetings and welcome to this episode of The Profit in the Nonprofit, where you will discover what it takes to start, build, and fund your nonprofit. I am your host, Sandra Chaney, and I am really excited about, I'm always excited about my guests. I say that every time because I really am excited about my guests. My guest hails all the way from Cambodia, so I'm really excited about that. And today we're going to talk about creating sustainable goals in a new economy as a nonprofit visionary. And today, my guest is Ilana Tulloch. And Ilana is the co-founder and marketing director for Baby Elephant Group, a boutique social enterprise group headquartered in Cambodia. She is working on innovations and pivots to save tourism industry jobs and develop leadership and innovation skills in order for them to become industry stars in Cambodia. She's a change maker at heart. Ilana has spent almost 6 years living in Cambodia. She's passionate about investing in and around and supporting the local Cambodian communities through sustainable and ethical business practices. I love that, Ilana. How are you? And welcome to the show.
I'm really well, and I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me on, Sandra.
I love all of that.
It's really exciting to hear it back. It's not often I get to hear about myself.
Isn't that wonderful, though? Because I think we forget the amazing work that we are doing. We keep going and going and going and going and forget to take a moment to really honor and appreciate what you, I mean, you should. You're doing something amazing in Cambodia. Okay, so before we even get into what we're going to talk about, just talk a little bit about the Baby Elephant Group and this whole thing about social, because you say it's a boutique social enterprise group, and how you ended up in Cambodia.
So that's a really interesting question. There is no short story, really.
Give us as much as the short version as you can.
I wanted to give you an idea of what it's like in Siem Reap, where I live. So we're a little town. Siem Reap means Siam defeated. So it's a town that was taken back from Thailand. And then they built Angkor Wat here, which is one of the seventh wonders of the world. And it is spectacular. So where I live is actually less than 7 kilometers from the temple ruins, 400 squared kilometers of temple ruins. And it's just a beautiful place. But it is also desperately underdeveloped here. It's one of the furthest behind in the region, and we call it ASEAN region. So that's that includes like the Southeast Asian nation states. Mm-hmm. And my background that led me here is quite complicated, but it includes a lot of hospitality. I was washing dishes when I was 13 years old. A lot of education because I'm a learner. I just love to learn. And then just a passion for new cultures and new experiences. But working with other people led me to realize my entrepreneurial capabilities. But I was also always, regardless of which community I was working in, very community focused.
Mm-hmm. I love that because when I look at your bio, you talk about working on innovations and pivots, which is a language that's universal to all businesses, including nonprofits, and especially nonprofits, because I sometimes feel like that nonprofits stay stuck in traditional ways versus, and sometimes the old has to meet the new, like old school meets new school. And I like that this is what you are doing and helping to develop leadership and actually showing them innovative ways to do things differently. And so I'm going to jump right into that because that's what we want to talk about today, because what I've learned is that, because I too remember being stuck in traditional ways. And then after I let go of my own nonprofit, I recognized that I didn't treat my nonprofit too. There were so many lessons that I've learned along this way, like a business. So we talked about the title being sustainable goals. Let's talk about, first of all, what is a sustainable goal? Because I don't think nonprofits really get that, because I didn't. I get it now, but I didn't get it then, and I didn't get innovation either. So let's talk about sustainable goals for a nonprofit. And is that even possible? Like, what is a sustainable goal?
I believe there's potentially three ways you can interpret a sustainable goal. Which include the United Nations definition, which is a sustainable development goal. So they have specific areas of development that they hope that all, not just nonprofits, but businesses will commit to in order to achieve the sustainable goal mission by 2030. So that's one definition. Mm. The other one is financial sustainability. So making sure that you've got a vision for the future and how, like a strategy for how you're going to meet that. The third one would be environmentally sustainable. But I think what we want to talk about really is probably the mix between those, that the short form is the United Nations SDGs and the sustainable financially. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic.
Yes, because the end result for nonprofits really is, of course, is all about how do I get the grants? How do I get money? Because, you know, when you think about it, so from a grant application perspective, one of the things that funders always ask is, how do you plan to sustain this program? How do you sustain it if you don't get this funding, or when the funding runs out, or if we don't put this RFP or the solicitation out next year, and this is your only grant, this is your only funding source, how do you plan to sustain that? And so I want to talk about sustainability and innovation, and how does one create a sustainable nonprofit business? Like, how and how do you make it innovative? And I mean, I know that's like, you know, two separate questions. So please answer how you feel you need to answer it. But because of what you're doing in Cambodia, which to me is amazing, I love what you're doing in Cambodia. So I'm pretty sure that some of the same struggles that nonprofits have, you are also probably running up against this in Cambodia as well. So how does one create a sustainable business or a nonprofit business? What does that look like?
I do have a background working with nonprofits as well. And therefore I think using your board and having the strategic plan that you then have an operations plan around, and of course, making smart goals. So goals that are specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based, and slowing down and breathing from time to time.
Did you say slowing down and breathing?
Yes. Just taking a deep breath, because sometimes in times of hardship, including COVID, for example, but also when we're working in environments where money is hard to come by, it can be stressful. And we're trying to think of solutions quite quickly and then enact them very quickly as well. So trying to be efficient, but it means that we also develop blind spots. So it's good to have it's good to have a very solid strategic plan that you can look back to and also have set measurable and attainable goals with deadlines that that are sort of that you believe that your team can achieve. And that relates more to the sustainability than the innovation.
Yes.
I think that when it comes to the innovation, when you are steering a ship, and what I mean by that is working with a team, or you might have multiple departments or multiple projects, it is necessary to put the knowledge in their hands, and so develop a team who have a learning and leadership mindset themselves, so that they feel empowered to come to you with ideas. That's one way. So I think investing in your team and making sure that they feel safe and trust that they will be received, you know, warmly, and that new ideas are welcomed. So I think that's really important, because a lot of the best ideas sort of come out of left field, but they come because you've nurtured an environment where people think where people feel they can talk to you. But the other thing is, if you have a really dynamite idea and you are like, this is going to work, make sure to talk to trusted advisors as well first.
Yes.
And then think about how you will deliver that idea to your team, how it will fit in to the strategic plan. Is it something that your board will back up? And make sure that it's a collaborative project. The challenge, especially because of COVID and especially because of how tight money is getting, is to both be agile and pivoting at the same time as honoring those traditions of strategic plans and operations plans.
So before you go, can you say a little bit more about being agile and pivoting? What do you mean by that? You know, because I'm just asking, because I'm also going to go back to a couple of a few statements prior to what you said about making sure that the goals are measurable and attainable, because I do want to elaborate more on that, because I sometimes feel like when it comes to making goals measurable, that nonprofits get stuck on what does that look like. But I want to actually talk about the pivoting, and because you're right, we do, in this season, we've all had to learn how to pivot and be agile. And so can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
For sure. I think it comes down to the learning mindset, backing yourself, and self-care, which probably sound like they don't really relate. I'll try and link them together. Mm-hmm. But through self-care, I think you can be healthier, more confident, and more ready for changes as they come at you. But developing a curiosity for change as well. So that means, whereas before, even from a personal standpoint, I would have said there are certain things I can't do. I can't do this. I wouldn't be able to do this. I wouldn't be able to make this change. Instead, now I'm addressing things with curiosity. I think, here's an idea. How could I do that? Or what skills am I missing? What skills do I have in my team? Who could help me to make this happen? And I believe, leveraging to develop agility requires leveraging partnerships and relationships as well. We need to support each other.
That's so good. And I sometimes feel like, especially for new nonprofits, you know, they're just starting out, and a lot of times they don't leverage their board in the best way, which your board to me is a vital part of the organization. And so you're right. We do need to lean on each other. And this is, and your partnerships and things like that. And so right now we do have to pivot. Most times we have to pivot when funding isn't there and become creative in ways that we can, you know, make this happen, you know, maybe find in-kind donations and partnerships because that still equates to money. You find people that will work with you and provide something in kind. So I do agree. It's basically, to put it in simplest forms, it's like asking for support or help. And a lot of times, even as human beings, we don't like doing that. We try to take on things ourselves versus doing that. So thank you for sharing that. But I want to go back to the whole goal measurement, the whole goals and objectives. You talked about SMART goals. So how does one create a goal that's measurable? Because I think that as a grant reviewer, I have seen the goals and the objectives and things that people put in their grant. And I'm going, that is not measurable. That's more like an activity.
Impact measurement is one of the most difficult parts of running a social enterprise, as well as a nonprofit. So when I say measurable, you have to have systems in place and you have to have an idea of what you want to measure as well. I would relate that back to your goals. And when I'm talking about the SDGs, the UN Sustainable Development Goals, I try to relate what I'm trying to measure back to the knowledge that they've given us through many channels there. But I definitely, because I work with the communities that are coming from a less educated background, I try to make things, I guess, attainable in terms of the SMART goal. It needs to be, I really try to make it a little bit smaller. It's interesting because I worked in Indonesia before here, where there's a population of 260 million people. It's almost the size of the USA. And we can move fast on projects there. Whereas here with a population that was, vastly affected by genocide with the Khmer Rouge, there's only 16 million people and most of them are young and most of them haven't had access to equal education. So I change how I approach SMART goals and I make the measurement a lot more attainable because I believe that the empowerment comes from seeing the results and from us being able to see the achievements, I suppose. I hope that answered the question, but I think there are definitely tools, like I could go into specific tools for measuring.
So I'm going to hold that because we're going to take a commercial break and I do want you to discuss maybe one or two tools that, and maybe even in your own, since you are a co-founder, of the Baby Elephant Group, maybe share what one of your goals are, right? And so that people can understand what a goal, because people do get goals, objectives, and activities confused. They really do. And so maybe share one of yours and talk about how that is measurable. That might be helpful, for the listening audience. But we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how and what does a measurable goal look like. So we'll be right back.
Get ready, world. This is Danish Jones, and I will be coming to you first thing in the morning to start your day off with good news. Tune in every Monday at 7:30 a.m. to the Unsung Celebration, where we celebrate the unsung heroes of the world. The doctors, the teachers, the community leaders, and anyone who you feel deserves a platform of recognition. So tune into the Unsung Celebration, where we are committed to giving you your flowers now.
Are you looking to start a nonprofit and don't know where to begin? Or are you a nonprofit owner who's looking for funding? Greetings, I am Sandra Chaney, and I have over 20 years of experience helping nonprofits either find funding or helping you to create your nonprofit. Schedule a free 25-minute consultation with me, Sandra Chaney, a nonprofit consultant and funding strategist. You may contact me at www.sandrachaney.com. Click on coaching and you'll see nonprofit strategists. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Okay, so welcome back. I am Sandra Cheney, your host, and we're talking to Ilana Tulloch, and we are talking about creating sustainable goals in a new economy, because we really are in a new economy. So we have to see things differently. And before the commercial break, we were talking about really the difference between, you know, what does a measurable goal look like? So Ilana, I really want you to, you can share a tool, but it might also be helpful to maybe share one of your goals from your, because even though I believe that your business is a, is it a for-profit or nonprofit? I can't remember.
It is hybrid model, which means, okay. Yes, I can go into that in more detail later, but I'm very yes. excited.
So if you could just share one goal that you have and talk about how is that measurable, or what are you doing to measure it? That might be more helpful.
So I could tell one of two stories at the moment, two things that I'm working on very fervently. That is maybe not the best word, but we've been offered a gift donation of a espresso machine, which will help us to sustain jobs through the pandemic, as because without tourism, at least people still need to drink coffee. So we're going to have a coffee machine. The the way that I am approaching that in terms of what is our goal? Like, what are we going to do with this coffee machine? How will it make impact? I relate that back to my mission statement. Our mission statement is to create ethical, sustainable employment for people from backgrounds of hardship. By having an espresso coffee machine, I am then able to hopefully supercharge change by providing more jobs and also provide training in the areas that include barista skills, diversification of the types of roles we have in the food and beverage department. But to measure those goals or to measure the success of that project, I will use traditional business planning. For each division of our group, I have a business plan, I have a cash flow, and I try to, we're in a very strange time where it might not, you know, I can't guarantee that in this particular circumstance the outcome for at least the next 12 months, but in terms of profit, but I can say how many jobs I will sustain through that. So the measurable goal through that would be to be able to sustain at least two more staff by having this coffee machine. So then the other thing that I'm working on is online training skills. These digital, so many buzzwords that go into it, but I want to equip people to bend, basically. So to think innovatively, but to also, not let go of those traditional ways of doing things, but to add to their skill base and to add to their toolkit so that when COVID ends, we are ready, and we're ready for opportunities that we might not recognize. And the measurable part of that is that by the end of this year, I would like to have 20 people have completed that training as a test model with feedback from them. And then from there, start to look at how to make that, again, sustainable.
Wow. Okay. So thank you for sharing that. And by the way, congrats. That's awesome. You wouldn't think of what you just said, you know, about the whole thing around coffee, and because, you know, we love coffee in the States. So, so that, I think that's just amazing that you are doing that. And I think it's also very creative, because it's thinking outside the box, really. And so before I go into my next question about how does social enterprise play a role, because you talked about a boutique or social enterprise, you mentioned that your business is hybrid. What did you mean by that?
So that means we have diversified income streams that include for-profit aspects of the business, but we also have partnerships and philanthropic donations, and we have what's called an auspicing partner, which is a charity that we partner with through which we can receive charitable donations. So that's the hybrid model.
Okay, can you explain a little bit more about the hybrid model? Because I can see people scratching their heads now. Well, how do I make myself hybrid? I can hear it. can you elaborate just a little bit more?
For sure, and I think it's a really valuable thing for not-for-profits to know, because sustainability in not-for-profit involves having business knowledge and becoming entrepreneurial, if not intrapreneurial, which is mm-hmm. the term given to someone in an organization who's thinking entrepreneurially. But the idea is just having different entities. So you've got your charitable arm, and then you've got a business arm. But the business arm has a social mission, and the profits of the business arm go back into your social mission mm-hmm. projects as well.
Yes, I do share that a lot with my nonprofits, you know, to have a for-profit arm that can feed back into your nonprofit, because that's like, I like to say, diversifying your portfolio. You need to have more than just grants. And go ahead. I'm gonna let you. Yes. You were going to say something to that?
I just think it's really important to think about in the context of the pandemic, because we don't know. I think this proves that anything can happen. And when it does, just having other avenues to sustainability and to not be stressed out by the change yes. is really important.
And this is where we talk about mixing the old school with the new school, really.
Yes.
And you know, it's not really that it's such a new school idea. I just think that a lot of nonprofits don't know that they can do that. And so this is why I'm doing this podcast, because I want to bring in the new school of a way of thinking and doing things differently, because you do need to have multiple streams of income. We talk about that for for-profit businesses. You know, they always say have 7 streams or more coming into your business.
I didn't know that, but that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard, many of my mentors have said you need to have at least 7 streams or more coming into your for-profit business. I feel it's the same thing for a nonprofit, because you are a business. You have to have multiple streams, and grants are just one stream. Fundraising is just one stream. There are other ways to bring in money to your nonprofit. So thank you for speaking on that. And I know we're going to have to probably have just a discussion on that later, like go into more detail about what that really means. But technically, you, like you said, have a for-profit arm that feeds into your nonprofit. And it is possible, because all the money goes into your nonprofit and it is tax deductible. It is tax deductible. So let's talk about social enterprise. Can you talk a little bit about that? We probably already touched on it, but what is social enterprise and how does that play a role?
It's a complicated term.
Yes, it is.
But a social enterprise, I think, really refers to just a business with a social mission is at its core what it is, but it can be modeled in a number of different ways. In some countries, there are restrictions on how a social enterprise should work. However, for the most part, the idea is that you develop your mission statement. And you have you have projects, or you have partners, charitable partners that you donate to, and you your goal is to create social change through business. That can be environmental change too, or some kind of like a human, animal, or environmental change. So in our case, our goal is to create opportunities from for people who don't have opportunities. So that's like long-term unemployed, mothers who haven't been in the workforce for, you know, the 18 to 20 years, trying to find people who might, trying to offer opportunities to people who might have fallen through the cracks, if not for low barrier to entry industries like hospitality, beauty industry, in which they can then develop empowered careers. So they can start easily, but the sky is hopefully the limit. They can still become stars within those industries.
Okay. You know, I when you and I talked, you know, before the podcast, I went and looked up just so that I would understand, you know, so the difference, because, so is there, let me ask you, is there a difference between social enterprise and a traditional charity?
Yes, because a, that's a hard question to answer, actually. A charity cannot make profit. However, a social enterprise can. So it's a way of harnessing the idea that it's okay to make money, and that it's okay to want to, you know, to have dividends, to have shareholders, to operate in a traditional business sense, but also create change.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's, I think, a way of saying that charity isn't the only way to achieve a better world.
Right. So I'm gonna go back to something you said, that a charity cannot make profits. They actually can. They can make a profit. They just have to. It's the way that their books. It's at the end of the year they can't show a profit. So in other words, that money really has to go to, you know, you have to show that it went to programming. It went to, you know, for instance, like, because I'm not charitable, I'm a for-profit. So I can show, I want to show a profit at the end. My profit law statements need to show that I made a profit. But when it comes to a charitable organization, and I'm gonna say such as, I'm gonna use Goodwill as an example, because Goodwill has stores everywhere. And we know that they are making a profit. But at the end of the year, when you look at their sheets, you know, their balance sheets and things like that, you don't see where it says they made a profit. That in there lies the difference in terms of how a nonprofit can make money, because you can make money. It is how you do it. And I think this is what Ilana is saying, correct me if I'm wrong, it's like in terms of the traditional way, we're not saying that you shouldn't be still traditional, but add some new school to the old school in order to be sustainable. Is that what I'm hearing, Ilana?
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right. So just starting to incorporate some of those business ideas in order to innovate, to use that word again. I really love that idea of having seven income streams.
Yes. And I think social enterprising on some level is certainly one way to think about that. I think nonprofits can, to me, add some portions of social enterprising into, because it gets you to think out, to throw away the box, really, to come out of the box and think how to sustain my business, because it is a business, how to sustain my programs and services is to not just rely on grants, but to look at your mission statement. And to me, in that mission statement, if you're educating, if that's one of your key words, so how do I go educate? How do I, and you know, you look at what is in your mission statement and see how you can go outside of the grant world and go and bring in more cash flow. And one way could be looking at corporate, you know, entities. If you are talking about healthcare, how can I take what I know about educating folk in the healthcare arena, how do I take that to corporate America and have them pay me, you know, for speaking to my, you know, to their employees? That money corporate America will pay you for your speaking ability, and you take it and you put it back into your nonprofit.
And that's the thing. It's like sort of taking away the stigma of money as well. Like,
yes,
we need to have a positive mindset when it comes to money and to making money. And when you're a social enterprise, you can choose to, I mean, the model that we've set up, we choose to put 100% back in. And that's at the moment. That's while things are very tough due to the pandemic. But what we hope is that we can put that money towards growth. And the more we grow, the more good we do.
Yes, exactly. And right, you can choose to put all that money back in, because if you are the founder of your nonprofit, you're still paying yourself from your nonprofit, but you're taking 100% of that and putting it back, and you can still pay yourself. But thinking from that standpoint, how can I leverage corporate America? How can I leverage the businesses from, you know, in terms of social enterprising? So I want to end on that note, because, you know, we can go on and on and on, but I want, even though you're in Cambodia, this to me is universal. So I do want you to tell us, how can people, you know, reach you? Do you have a website, an email address, if people have questions about what we talked about?
Yes. So it's not too difficult to find me. You can track me down on the internet anywhere. My name is Ilana, Ilana Tulloch, Tulloch. Just Google me. Otherwise, the group is called Baby Elephant Group. And you can find us at babyelephant.co, which gives you an overview of all of the different brands and projects that we work on. And I would be absolutely delighted if anyone got in touch. If you've got questions, I love having conversations like this, and it means the world to me if I can help somebody else.
Ilana, thank you so much for being on the show. This to me was an amazing conversation, and I think it's getting people to think differently. I definitely think we might have to have you back so we can further discuss some more things. So I really appreciate your time, because I know it is what time is it there now? 8:30?
Yes.
At night. So thank you so much.
It's for an absolute your time. Pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you to my listening audience for this listening in on this episode of The Profit and the Nonprofit. To receive a free 25-minute consultation from yours truly, visit my website at sandrachaney.com. And remember this, an inspired and successful nonprofit leader is a leader who remembers their why and works from the inside out, because it truly is an inside job. Thank you so much for listening.